supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Celestial sleuthing in Antarctica reveals recently arrived remnants of a supernova explosion. Let's sift through the evidence on Sky Talk with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, let's go sifting.
When we say supernova, we're talking about one of the most powerful kinds of events in the universe, a star exploding, blowing itself all over its region of space. And nuclear physicist Gunter Korschnick and his team of researchers from Technical University of Munich have actually been able to identify some remnants of supernova activity in the snows of Antarctica.
Well, what made them think to go there to look for this?
So we've looked in ocean sediments and found remnants of supernova activity. And we've also looked at the soil of the moon and found remnants of supernova activity there. And Antarctica is also a place where other interesting astronomical discoveries have been made in terms of finding objects in the snow. It's well known that if you go to Antarctica, there are places where meteorites work their way through the snowpack right up to the surface, and explorers or researchers can actually go out and just pick them up right off the surface. So the idea that Antarctica might be a place, here's an environment where it's cold and dry, so you have the perfect conditions for preserving any kind of remnants of astronomical activity that might be able to reach us.
But these are scarcely meteorite-sized remnants.
No, indeed they aren't. In this case, we're talking about atoms of iron-60. Iron-60 is an isotope of iron that has 60 protons and 60 neutrons in its nucleus. It is radioactive, and it's the product of the explosion of a star and the explosion of its core blowing itself out into space. But when we talk about finding atoms of iron-60, in this case, in about 1,000 pounds of snow, this group of researchers were able to glean out just 10 atoms of iron-60.
A needle in a haystack is huge by comparison.
I cannot believe that out of all of that snow, just 10 atoms of iron-60.
So this is just one example of stuff from outer space coming to our space. How much of Earth or even our solar system is truly indigenous?
I suppose you could make the argument that everything here comes from someplace else. I mean, if we look at the materials that make up the planets of our solar system, all of the heavier elements were formed in the supernova explosion of a star that existed in this region before our sun did, and then those materials were incorporated into the formation of our star, which in turn created the process that produced the planets we have. So everything we have here actually comes from someplace else. Even to this day, we still are receiving 100 tons of space dust every year falling down onto the Earth.
Tons.
Tons.
And so is the Earth getting incrementally heavier?
Yes, indeed. You could say that we are becoming incrementally heavier. Is that going to cause some major problem here on the Earth? I think in the accumulation of space dust over perhaps 15 to 20 billion years, we might start to see an effect. But I think for right now, we probably don't have to have too much concern about going outside with a shovel to remove the space dust from our driveways.
Derek, we're coming upon the season where trees are shedding weight, losing leaves. Related to the sun?
You know, I always like to relate everything that happens on Earth to astronomy, and I found a way to make it happen with the coming autumn season. And one of the markers of that, leaves falling off of trees. Now, I think when I was younger, immediately assumed that this happened because the trees got cold. And that is part of the trigger that makes leaves from leaf-dropping trees to fall off. But there's another component to that, and that's the changing amount of sunlight. We now are seeing our sunrises come quite a bit later in the morning and our sunsets coming quite a bit earlier in the evening. That little change in sunlight has sent a signal to the leaves that it's turning into the time to depart and separate from the tree. So a hormone created by the tree carries that signal up to the leaf where it starts to create a certain type of cell that begins to build a wall between the leaf and the stem of the tree. Once that wall is almost complete, all that has to happen now is for a gust of wind to come along and carry the leaf off.
One advantage of earlier sunsets, an earlier opportunity to see all the treasures of the night sky.
Especially since the evenings are staying warm, that really helps us get out and look for the jewels of the night sky. Jupiter and Saturn dominate the south, so easy to see. And if you are facing south, you'll easily be able to recognize bright Jupiter over to the right of direct south and Saturn over to the left of direct south at about 9 to 10 p.m. in the evening. These are both bright planets. They don't twinkle, so you'll be able to tell them from stars. Stars twinkle, planets don't. And what's happening is, right between the two planets, we have the arms of our Milky Way galaxy. So if you can identify the two planets, point your binoculars right between them, where you'll find this rich field of stars of the Milky Way, and then follow the arms of the Milky Way up toward the top of the sky, where you'll come to the prominent constellations of the summer sky. That would be Cygnus with its bright star Deneb, Lyra with its bright star Vega, and Aquila the Eagle with its bright star Altair.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.